Be opening our Bibles to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. You will find that right after the book of Judges. As I said this morning, we are going to be spending some time in this great book. We'll actually get things started this evening. We're going to use the first five verses of Ruth chapter 1 for our introduction to the book. And then we will present a couple of lessons from this introduction that can help us. And I want to take that approach as we go through the book. I'd have to say, as I was thinking about this series of lessons, I was actually asked to do a lesson from the book of Ruth. And so it has caused me to go back and to do some studying, and I've enjoyed reading the book over the last few weeks and thinking about some lessons that I'll be presenting in the future at a congregation on the book of Ruth. And it just caused me to think about perhaps going through the book of Ruth in a setting like this. I would have to say that I have never preached through the book of Ruth. And I just don't know if I've ever taught the book of Ruth. Now, I can tell you I've studied the book of Ruth. I know that there is evidence in my Bible because I have notes. When I put those notes in there, I can't remember. Usually I can go back and look at my notes, and I could actually think back when I studied the book, when I taught the book, but I just haven't been able to do that with the book of Ruth. And so I'm excited about this series of studies. I believe you will find probably just in the book, just in the introduction, that the book of Ruth can be somewhat challenging, and we'll note some of those things as we go through this great book. And so I want to encourage you in this series of lessons to be reading the book. It's a great book. It has a great story. You'll learn to appreciate this book. You'll also learn to appreciate key figures in this book. And there are so many lessons that we can apply from this beautiful story. And so let's begin with our introduction tonight. And we want to begin by just reading the first five verses, and then we want to come back and highlight some things and notice some things as a way of introduction that will help us in our study of this great book. So let's begin in Ruth chapter 1, and let's just read the first five verses. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continue there. And Abimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the women was left of her two sons and her husband. Now, as you read just the first few verses, you could see that this was a very difficult time for the Jewish people. Life wasn't easy. In fact, to me, when you look at verse number 1, you're going to see the background to the book of Ruth. In other words, you'll see how Ruth really fits into the Old Testament narrative. You will see that this is in the time of the judges. And so when you're reading through the book of Ruth, it's important and it's helpful to know that this is in the period of the judges. And so when you think about the background of the book of Ruth, the book of Judges actually helps us. It gives us insight into what was going on with the people. One key verse that you may want to jot down by the book of Ruth, by the word Judges, is Judges chapter 17, verse number 6. And it really sets the background to this book. There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And you will see that in the book of Judges. And you'll see that cycle in the book of Judges, where the people of God would go through a period where they would serve God, they were loyal to God, but then they would drift away, they would then serve the enemy, they would then cry out to God, and God would raise up a judge, and God would deliver His people. Most people would agree that when you're studying through the book of Judges, it was probably one of the lowest points in history for the people of God. And so you'll see that throughout the book of Judges, and I believe you'll see some things along the same lines in the book of Ruth. Some have described the book of Ruth as a love story. Now, I know the ladies of the congregation will like that, but it is a love story, and it's a beautiful love story about how two individuals fell in love, and we'll note some of those things. And that's why a lot of people read the book of Ruth, and some see it just as a love story. But there's more to the book than what we've just stated about the book of Ruth being a love story. You know, another great thing that we see in the book of Ruth is God is working out His redemptive plan. We'll point out later on in our study, but we will see Ruth as part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And that's interesting when you consider Ruth. You consider another individual by the name of Esther. These are women that were a part of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And so again, keep those things in mind. I said Esther, I think I meant to say Rahab. And so you have Rahab and you have Ruth in that line that we read about in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. And again, we'll have more to say about that. You see God again in the book of Ruth working out His redemptive plan, bringing about the coming of Jesus Christ. But you also see God working in the lives of individuals. You see God working in Naomi's life. You see God working in Ruth's life. And you see how God used individuals like Boaz to help others in this life. You'll notice here in chapter 1, and I'll just highlight this, but when you're reading chapter 1, I believe Naomi was challenged in a lot of ways. And let me show you the verse that would cause me to make that statement. You'll see it in verse number 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. She is telling the people this. She is going to go back home to Bethlehem. And this is what Naomi is saying to the people. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty, the El Shaddai, has dealt very bitterly with me. The All-Powerful One, El Shaddai, has dealt bitterly with me. Again, we'll talk more about that statement in our study of chapter 1. But I believe Naomi was certainly challenged. And it might be that we're dealing with some unbelief, not only with Naomi, but also with her husband, Elimelech. And again, we'll note some of those things. Some have titled chapter 1, Unbelief. Some have even titled chapter 1, Running from God. Kind of like we see Jonah in the book of Jonah. How he would run away from God. Another important part in the background to this story, there in verse number 1, we read about a great famine in the land. Now, as you're studying Old Testament history, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 15, God reminded His people that if His people obeyed Him, He would bless them. if they disobeyed him, he would bring cursings upon them. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 23 and 24, you see how God would even go on to say how he would bring a famine upon them. And God would use these various famines to chastise his people, to discipline his people, to bring them back to their spiritual senses. And so God states that to his people in the book of Deuteronomy. And we see God doing that many times with his people. We read about the various famines throughout the Old Testament history. And again, this was one way that God would discipline, one way that God would chastise his own people. Now, when we connect that idea with God's chastisement with this idea of a famine in the land, it certainly fits, because remember, we are looking at this in the period of the judges. And many times throughout the period of judges, we see the people God doing exactly that, wandering away from God because of unbelief. The people did this over and over again. And it might be that Elimelech and Naomi were doing this. Why? Well, there was a famine in the land, and I want you to now consider where they went. They went to Moab. Now you stop and think about Moab. There's a lot of history that centers around Moab, the Moabites. We can go back to Genesis chapter 19, and we see that the Moabites were descendants. They were descendants of Lot from his incestuous union with his firstborn daughter. And so you see how the Moabites originated. But then we also read about how the Moabites became a major stumbling block for the people of God. They were enemies of God's people. Even in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 3, we see that the Hebrew people, the Jews, ruled under the Moabites. Again, God's people fled from him. They departed from him. And we see how they served the Moabites for 18 years. They would cry out to God. God would raise a judge, as we said, this cycle, and he would deliver his people from the Moabites. That is exactly where Elimelech went to. He went to the Moabites. You think about the Moabites, you also might tie in Numbers chapter 25. In Numbers chapter 25, we see that the Moabites, and this centers around the story of Numbers, really chapter 22 through 25, the story of Balaam and Balak. And you read that story, and then you come to chapter 25, and we see how the Moabites seduce the people of God to commit immorality and to practice idolatry. As a result, 24,000 people died in a plague because of what they did. But again, the Moabites became a huge stumbling block to the people of God. And so we're not reading about a righteous people who walked with God, a people who were concerned about following the law of God. We're reading about people who rebelled against God, who lived in immorality. And we're reading about Elimelech and Naomi going to Moab and really turning to Moab for help. When you stop and think about Elimelech, you can see from Naomi that a name had meaning. And you see that throughout the Old Testament. You see how many times God would change people's names. Abram to Abraham. Jacob to Israel. Names were very significant. God's names had great meaning. And I'll point that out again in chapter 1. Again, Naomi refers to God as El Shaddai in the Hebrew, the Almighty, the All-Powerful One. But now consider Elimelech's name. And again, it helps us with the background. Elimelech means my God, my King. Again, my God, my King. But that's not how Elimelech lived his life. Or I should say, it appears that he didn't live his life in that way. as God being his king based upon the decisions that he made. And you see those decisions. Again, when things got tough, a famine in the land, again, he goes to Moab. And so he's around the Moabites and he's around that evil influence. Again, when you looked at the text, they were there for some time. My question would be, how would they serve God? How would they worship God being in Moab? But then we see something else in the text. As you continue to read this text, notice this next thing. Their two sons married two women from Moab. You see, sometimes we can read the book of Ruth as a love story, and we miss some of these things. These things that actually would go against the old law. Well, what do you mean, go against the old law? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, God's people were forbidden to intermarry with the heathen nations. These are the nations that God would drive out. And God wanted his people to come out from among them. Not only here do we see an example of God's people intermarrying with the heathen nations. Oh, this was a major problem for the children of Israel. It was even a problem with Solomon. And we see how Solomon fell away from the Lord. But you read through Deuteronomy chapter 7 and God states why. Why he made that law, why he gave them that law. And that law was for their own protection. And so as you think about this story and as you think about the very beginning of this story, we see Elimelech and Naomi departing to Moab because of a famine. Now think about it. They departed to Moab to escape death, but as you continue to read the story, three men met death. Elimelech and their two sons. Well, as I said, these first five verses really serve as a background. We notice something about the period of the judges, that time period. God's people were struggling, a very low point for the Israelites. We've noticed some things about the Moabites, their existence, their evil influence. We also noticed some things about Elimelech, what his name meant, about his two sons intermarrying two women from Moab. Again, Ruth was from Moab. As I said, as we go through the story, we're going to see how God used that and how God allowed his people to make decisions at times that were contrary to his will, but God was able to still work out his plan. There are so many examples of God doing that. But now what I want us to do for just a few minutes, and then the lesson will be yours, is what can we learn from that? Well, based upon this background, when we have problems, when we have challenges, when we have, here's a better word, obstacles, we should never run away from God. Guess what Naomi eventually does? She comes back to God. She goes back home. In fact, you'll see that. Notice with me in verse number 6 of chapter 1. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. She hears how God has blessed the Israelites, and now she wants to go back home. Again, when we face obstacles in this life, and we'll face them, we should never run away from God. You remember the book of Jonah, we mentioned that. We see Jonah running away from God. And we see that God would come to Jonah a second time. And aren't you thankful for that? When we find ourselves again running away from God, we serve a God of second chances. God is always there. God is always willing to take us back and help us when we're ready to listen to Him and follow His ways. You'll see that I believe in the life of Naomi. You're going to see a full circle. You're going to see how she felt about God. God had dealt bitterly with me. But then at the end of the book, you're going to see how the Lord blessed her. And I believe she realized that the Lord blessed her. Just like Job did. Just like God blessed Job. Another important lesson that comes to my mind when I think about the beginning of the book of Ruth, we need to think about the decisions that we make in this life. Think about the decisions that we make in this life, because the decisions that we make in this life can impact other people. Case in point, Elimelech and Naomi, they go to Moab, and their two sons marry two daughters of Moab. Now I realize Ruth is going to turn out to be a good person, a virtuous woman, and there's a lot of good things said about her. But again, this was something that God had forbidden in His law. And so again, we need to think about the decisions that we make in this life, because they can impact other people. We want to make good decisions. And we always want to turn to God when we make those decisions. We want to turn to God's counsel. We want to allow God through His Word to help us as we go through this life. As we consider a passage in the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7, the Apostle Paul says that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. I believe if Elimelech had walked by faith and not by sight, perhaps he wouldn't have made the journey to Moab. You read the book. I don't believe going to Moab was something that the Lord would have counseled him to do, because God had told His people over and over again to separate themselves from the heathen people because of their evil influence. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33, we see that evil communication corrupts good morals. Again, we want to walk by faith and not by sight. And the only way that we could ever learn to walk by faith and not by sight is by allowing God through His Word to help us as we go through this life. Listen, the Bible is the best counseling book that you can ever read, that you can ever follow, that you can ever turn to. The guidance that God gives us, again, is good guidance. In the book of Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon says that God has given us good doctrine. He's given us good teaching. Teaching that will help us in this life. Teaching that will help us make good decisions in every area of life. You know, when it comes to making decisions, we understand the consequence of that. And I believe we see that at the very beginning of this book. We see the consequences of Elimelech's decision to go to Moab. But again, you also see God working through that. And you also see God giving people a chance. And we'll see God's law and mercy coming together in beautiful harmony next week as we think about Ruth's life. Again, a great example of law and mercy. But that's the introduction, and I hope this lesson, the beginning of this lesson tonight, has given you something to think about, spiritually speaking, as you think about the lives of Elimelech, the life of Naomi, the life of Ruth. These character studies, these individuals can provoke spiritual thinking. And that's why we study God's Word. That's why we read through these stories and we think about these things. These things provoke spiritual thoughts. And that's where we want our mind to be. We want our mind to be on God. We want our mind to be on His Word. We can learn, Romans 15, verse number 4, we can learn so many things from the Old Testament. Let me encourage you to be reading the book of Ruth, because you will be encouraged. You will be strengthened. The lesson is yours tonight. Spiritually speaking, if we can help you in any way, won't you please come right now as we stand.